Excellent. Honey, we're going to have to get you to preach. Don't you reckon? I thought I shouldn't have got down, should I? But anyway, it was great. We enjoyed Andrew's message. It was good. It was great. Last week, we were talking about, it just happened to work out. We were talking about Gamaliel and the challenges, and he said, well, if it's of God, it can't be, you can't stand against, if God's done something, then it's going to stay. And God's building his church, right? And, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit more today, and we're looking at the book of Acts again. Today we're in Acts 6, if you want to turn to Acts 6, chapter, verse 1. We're going to go there this morning. And for those who gave last week, thank you. We were able to raise another $3,800 for our future building fund, which is fantastic. And just a reminder for those who got faith promises, and great, let's just keep trusting God and see what God does in people's lives. Just keep hearing financial testimonies in this church about what God's doing. And I'm looking forward to seeing the video. David's back on, David and Claire are back Tuesday. We're going to do some videos for those three people particularly, and some of others that haven't done one yet. Tuesday night, wear your nice clothes and let's get these videos done. Can we do that? That'll be great, because it's good to have good news, isn't it? So we've got good news, but it's not ready to play. But on that note, Ken spoke to me this morning. Ken, give everyone a wave. Ken went to the doctor for his checkup. Look, I'm just ad-libbing a little bit because, you know, the specialist, I'm guessing, for your knee. And the first x-ray showed the ligament actually detached from the bone. That's right? But after prayer, and this is now what, 6 weeks later? 6 weeks later, the doctor says, there's actually nothing wrong with your knee whatsoever. The ligament is totally attached to the knee. And the doctor said, how'd that happen? So Ken told him and said, just believe. And he apparently was a believer, Christian man. And but he's still going, we've got to tell more people about this. How cool is that? God's bigger. God's bigger. And, you know, there's no harm in praying. Not everyone may get healed. But hey, for the ones that do, it's worth it, right? And God hears you. He does hear. It's one of those things where I guess we're going to have to wait to heaven to find out, well, why didn't you heal that person? Why did you heal that person? But we still know God's alive and he's real. We trust him with all our hearts. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? So Acts 6, verse 1. This is the New Living Translation. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, who'd like to have that happen here? It has grown somewhat. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. Oh. Does that sound like church to you? Probably every day, right? On the way in, I heard of six people that didn't show up for their roster. Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit more this morning. We'll see how we go. But, you know, those who spoke Greek. We got any Greeks here? We've got just about everybody else. But anyway, I don't think we have. No, it's not. Those who spoke Greek complained against those who spoke Hebrew. I don't know how they did that, but they did. Saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. We apostles should spend our time preaching and teaching the word of God, not administering a food program. Now look around among yourselves, brothers, and select 7 men who are well respected and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will put them in charge of this business. Then we can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. This idea pleased the whole group. They chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Good to choose good men, right? What was he full of? Faith and the Holy Spirit And we know what's happened to Stephen. In fact, I'm not going to steal Shane's thunder for next week. So, who's looking forward to hearing Shane next week? And then it goes on. The idea, please, the whole group. And a Gentile convert to the Jewish faith who become a Christian, right? And then verse 6. These seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid hands on them. God's message was preached. I love this verse. God's message was preached in ever-widening circles. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. That's pretty cool, isn't it? They didn't think the Messiah had come, and yet suddenly he's alive in their life. Pretty cool. All right. You know, Andrea and Emma come into the office, and we were chatting about kids' church, just based on this scripture. You know, we had 76 kids in the last weekend of the kids' program. I mean, 76 children. And I saw a lot go out today, and some of them actually don't make it to church because they like kids' church so much, they stay outside. I don't know what that's about, but that's what happens. And apparently they've got about 25 leaders and then 8 junior leaders as well. And 2 weeks ago, they told me that 83 kids were in church on that weekend. I think that was Friday and Sunday. I can't remember, but 83. You know, God's up to something, don't you think? Not just back in the early church, but he's up to something here, right, Suzanne? He's up to something. And all we've got to do is actually get on board and help grow his church. So the title of my message this morning is Help Grow the Church. You help grow the church. Say it with me. You help grow the church. Now turn to your neighbor and say it to them. You help grow the church. See, one of Luke's purposes in writing the book of Acts is to tell the story of the remarkable growth of the church in the years after Jesus had left the earth and sent his spirit to empower his people. Let me give you some verses quickly. Acts 2:41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all. Now I'm going to come back to verse 42 because people joined as well. Acts 2:47, each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Acts 4:4, many of the people who heard their message believed, so the number of believers totaled 5,000 men plus women and children. That's a lot of people. Acts 5:14, more than ever, people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of men and women. Acts 9:31, the church had peace and grew in strength and numbers. Acts 13:49, the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Acts 16:5, so the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew daily in numbers. Acts 19:20, so the message of the Lord spread widely and had powerful effect. See, Luke is writing under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and tells us these things because they are good for us to know. He is telling us about the triumphs of the gospel in the past because this would be good for us to know in the present. Do you agree? It's encouraging. It's the word of God. C3 Fremantle has its own history from very humble beginnings and through some tough years, not unlike the early church and some of the persecutions, although we didn't get flogged. But God has kept it and it remains a vibrant, healthy church. God's done it. I want to tell you a little story about my gym friend, maybe in this meeting, maybe because he says he's still talking to me. He doesn't think I've gone crazy. God's up to something. All right? And we are part of the ongoing work of the Lord Jesus is described in Acts 1. Quickly go there, Acts 1. Acts 1, verse 1. You there? Not many of you are saying much. It's on the world now, is it? Oh, no. Acts 1:1. In my first book, all right? In my first book, Luke is describing the Gospel of Luke to us. In my first book, I told you about everything Jesus began to do and teach. Okay. We are part of the ongoing work of Jesus. Come on. We are part of the ongoing work of Jesus. And it is the effect of the power of the Holy Spirit referred to in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, I love the New Living Translation on this, which addresses this verse. You will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere. You will receive power and tell people about me everywhere. I think I better tell you a little bit about the... Who'd like to hear a little bit more about the gym man? I'm just feeling the need. So this week, it seems to be Tuesdays for some reason, and I'd actually come up to me and he'd had a bit of a, just to fill you in a little bit, let's go back. A few weeks ago, I'd been talking to this friend of mine at the gymnasium that I've known a couple of years, and he was having a few issues with his heart. And so I said, would you like me to pray for you? And he thought I meant later. And he said, yes. And I laid my hands on him right there and then. I says, let's keep our eyes open so that we're just like talking, but I've just got my hand patting you. So that was more for my benefit than for his, okay? So I prayed for it. The week after, he comes up to me, and all that time while I was at the gym, all I could think about was praying that God was doing something in his life. That week later, he comes up to me and goes, Nigel, you rock my world. He's actually grabbed me. He actually was standing, next stand up, Jared, was standing, so I told the people last week, but for those who didn't get it, he goes, Nigel, you rock my world. Sit down, you're right, it's all good. I'm not going to bash you up. Not yet. Maybe later we'll have a fight. But anyway, yeah, sons and dads can do that. And he goes, I didn't believe that anyone could care so much. And he shook my hand about three times because hugging's kind of like, you don't. But I think that's what was, you know, these guys. And then this week, He told me another situation during the course of that week, actually, that same week. And I said, I've just felt like God say, you can pray for him, but why don't you ask him to pray for that situation? So I went up to him, because now we've got a good relationship. And I actually said, you're always good. I know you're feeling a bit sick today. I said, have you prayed? He goes, yeah, I've done a little bit. You know what? From someone who's never prayed to a little bit, I'll take that. Now, what's happening now is he's being discipled somewhat without even knowing it, isn't he? Yeah? I can't wait to go back to the gym in some case, some just like, you know, and just see what God's going to do next. And maybe I will pray for this situation because it's quite a, you know, I want it to be better. It's quite a serious situation. But he started something with God which he didn't have before. That's good, isn't it? That's fantastic news. Now, that's kind of cool considering what we're talking about this morning. As the believers rapidly multiplied, it says in verse 1 of this of chapter 6, right? See, it begins with a reference to growth in verse 1. As the believers rapidly multiplied. And then verse 7, it finishes with a reference to growth as well. The number of believers greatly increased. Now, what we have sandwiched between these two statements is a threat to the Christian movement and the story of how it was overcome. And so the point of this text is to teach us how the growth of the church is threatened and how to overcome the threat. First, there's infighting between the Greeks and the Hebrews. That never happens here, does it? Never have infighting. The Greeks were not feeling the love. Mainly because their widows were being neglected in the food distribution. They'd already talked about and had a system from Acts 4. We already know that. They had a plan in place, but obviously the system wasn't working. So I want to ask you a question. Are all churches going to grow if they have the life of God in them? Are all churches going to grow if they have the life of God in them? It's not a trick question. They're going to be healthy, number one, and there's going to be growth, and yes, numerically, they should grow too, right? Okay. No, it wasn't a trick. Now, I say to you, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Come on. I think we should say this verse together, but put our name in. I am, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Did you all say it? Did you all put your name in? Were you all good school students? Okay. See, when a church grows, it encounters growth challenges. And the answer to these challenges is the pastor's problem. Why isn't he doing anything about it to help? And it would also appear from the scripture that some were saying that the apostles should spend more time helping the needy. Wrong. And second, the second part of the threat to the Christian movement was that those called to the ministry of the word would leave their calling and serve on tables. So number one, I want to talk this morning about Christian community. The answer to these challenges lies with every member of the church. They called a meeting in Acts 6:2 of all the believers, it says. The worst thing you can do when things are alive in God is quench the work of the Holy Spirit by dumping more on the leaders who have got the church to where it is already. Andrew and I felt a real call by the Holy Spirit close to 18 years ago, it must be, because Jared's 18, to come down to Fremantle. Under the guidance of our home church, where we used to be leaders there, at C3 Hepburn Heights, Pastor John Finkeldy, and we had 6 months of prayer before we even moved, sort of like allowed the Holy Spirit into coming down here. One of the best decisions you will ever make in your life is not to go out and do something because God told you so. His church is here for a reason. And when we listen to those around us and we move in unity of what God's saying for the whole, it's going to be successful. It may take some time, but it's going to work out. It's got far more potential and possibility, and it's got more opportunity to grow because people are behind you. So this morning, we do things, and we do them well when we're together, or we have a few people around us that say, you know what, why don't you wait on that a little bit longer? Or come on, we can do this. Yes, I think it's right, we can do it together, which is what John's ended up saying to Andrea and I. One thing I've come to learn, that if the Holy Spirit is on something, he will confirm it with others. Don't push, let God. And people do all kinds of stuff without the advice of good counsel. And most of the time, it's not their best life, it's mediocre. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have my best life than a mediocre life. So we're in this together. If we believe in the Word of God and the power of unity and the church that God created that all come together, then we must believe this truth. There's no solo agents in the kingdom of God in that sense. There might be evangelists and there might be those guys that do the itinerants, but they're still locked into a home church. We're very careful who we allow here for that very reason. And then there's small groups. We also know from Acts 2 that the church had established a pattern of small groups where people met around a table in homes and discussed their lives and the Word of God and prayed for one another. You know, the power of a connect group is when the Word of God is opened up, even if it's just a little bit. It's not in the social as much, because we have a cause, and the cause is Christ. Who can we pray for today that isn't here in my connect group? See? You help grow the church. Part of being a disciple is being a part of Christian community. You know, at work to some degree. Who goes to work here? Just give me a little hand. Who goes to work part-time, full-time? A lot of people. At work, we can put our masks on to some degree. But if God is really at work in your life, we relish Christian community, and there's a time and place to take our masks off. And God's intention for us is to grow to know one another and walk with one another through life's challenges. And this is kind of foreign in this world that we live in, because everything's done electronically. But we've got to stay in community. Church, we must stay in community. We must be together. And at Connect Group, what we're asking is this: will you walk with me? If the Holy Spirit is in you, you will have a desire for this to happen in your life. And friendship and connection is the Christian way. And if this is foreign to you, then the Holy Spirit has some work to do in your life. It's totally fixable. And the church is at its best when everyone brings something to the party. At C3F, we're all ministers of the gospel. The Greek connect groups met and had their masks off and were able to talk frankly about the situation at hand. And they took it to their leaders, because in this particular case, it was a large problem, which, as we've discussed, could destroy the growth of the church. So in Acts 6:3, now look around among yourselves and select 7 men who are well respected and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will put them in charge of this business. You are the answer to church growth. Together, we are the answer to church growth. And Luke gives us a clear indication that the temptation for the key leadership to spend more time administering a food program was a grave mistake. And Luke also reports on the effect of the apostles not leaving the Word of God in verse 7. And the Word of God was preached in ever-widening circles. The number of believers greatly increased. And even the Jewish priests were converted. And the point is that the Word of God kept spreading and bearing fruit because the apostles did not make the strategic mistake of leaving their focus of the Word to fix a pressing problem. And it is most likely in many cases in church life that the reason you have been alerted to a problem is so that you can become part of the solution. If you see something that needs fixing, maybe you're part of the solution for that problem to be fixed. Would that make sense? And so, one, we're in community together. And secondly, the church overcame by delegating. The church overcame how? By delegating. They chose men who are well respected and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. God wants you to use what you have to develop and grow his church. And men and women who are respected because they mean business with God. They allow the Holy Spirit to come upon their life. And when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you become part of the solution for growth problems. No challenge is too difficult or insurmountable because you are filled with his Spirit to accomplish his tasks. It may take a little while to work out a system. There may be things that we need to put in place together. But I'm telling you, God wants to grow his church, does he not? God wants his church to be healthier than it is right now, yes? Now, if we've got 80-odd children, I think we've got 100 on our books. 100 children? Close to 100 children on our books. Well, God's doing something. God's moving. Being a disciple is a desire to help grow and build his house. We do our part and God does the growing. We don't have to do the growing. It's not up to us to do that. God does it. We just do what we can. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people." You are not like what, you might ask? In 2 verse 8, he says this, "People who stumble because they do not listen to God's word or obey it." You are once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You were once didn't have anything, but now you have everything through what God has provided. If we've been called out from the darkness, who's glad they've been called out from the darkness this morning? You know, we get called out. There's freedom in coming to Christ. There's freedom and joy. Someone turn that fan off for me. Thanks. I think that's why my mic's blowing. So we shouldn't still be living in a way that resists his call on our lives. Come on, guys. We've got to do this together. We can't resist the call of God on our life. God loves us. He cares about us. And he's put us together as part of his church so that we grow together. How long will you resist? That's what they said. That's what Stephen said in his dying words. How long will you resist me? He didn't want them to have their life end in death with no hope. See, our lives mean something, then we've got to be a part of the program of Jesus, and his program is in his church. And so this morning, just have a look around, lift up your bottom for a moment. Serving God is for everyone. Guys, serving God is for? Serving God is for everyone. You know, when Nick last week, 13 years of old, playing drums, I think he started when he was about 11. Serving God is for everyone. God wants to use us. Are we willing this morning? We're coming up to Christmas, it's getting tired, it's getting weary, and it just happened to work out that we happen to be in Acts 6. I didn't plan it that way, but hey, what an opportunity to go, you know what? We need to pull together. There's an opportunity for someone to receive Christ. Christmas is just around the corner. See, the love of God changes the way we think about church. So I want to say this morning, we give you an opportunity to pass this in to the info desk, which Marg is manning this morning for us after the service. See, if I am gifted musically, I will do what I can to get involved in helping the music team. Because I know that that's part of my destiny is to help the church expand and grow. If I am gifted administratively, I do what I can to serve the church in this area. If I am good with kids, I will help in kids' church because they need all the help they can get. If I am great at hospitality, I'll serve in the cafe. Even if I'm not, I can certainly wait at a table. If I can bring someone a coffee, I will do it. If I'm a little bit geeky, there's geeky people in this church, I'm sure, that we don't know about. Well, if you're a little bit geeky and you have an ear for music, you need to talk to Dave and be a part of the sound desk. We need more geeks. Addy, you're excluded from that. Oh, we know you're not a geek. But then what I'm saying is, you know, there's just certain people are wired different ways. No one's going to take offense. If you have, you can speak to me afterwards. Maybe I'll... One thing is certain. If I really am called, I can't sit and spectate. Come on. If we're a called out people, if we're called out, what are we called out from?
I'll just let someone else do that. Oh, why hasn't that been painted today? Why are you walking up the stairs and there's... Who left that mess there? I've seen people walk past rubbish as we go come to in the front doors. I can't do that. It's not my church. It's our church. Even, you know, if someone's... I've done it a number of times. There's just, you know, skid marks in the toilet. You clean them because you don't want a visitor to come in and sit down on that... We've got to do what's called to build the church, do we not? Come on. So we do what it takes. If we have to get down and dirty, we do. Whatever it takes to build his house. Come on. It's true. Some of you are fantastic at this. I'm not, you know, some of you are just, you just love doing, you know, whatever you can to help. And if it wasn't for the 20%, man, it would be so difficult to run what we run. But I reckon God can increase it, don't you? I reckon God can do more. And he can't do it without us together. Why were these men chosen? Acts 6:3. Because these men, they were God's own possession. If you really believe, come on, who really believes they're God's own possession today? Come on, we really believe it. We've obviously got some work to do on this one. If you're really God's own possession, if you're really God's own possession, that's what we've been talking about, being a disciple for so many weeks. We're going to keep doing it. Being a disciple, being a follower of Christ. When we have God in our heart, we can't help but be called out and actually help to serve and bring the kingdom of God to a whole greater level so that people's understanding, they see it. They see, they don't just see it with their, they don't just hear it, I'm saying. They actually, they see it with their own eyes because we're acting it. So you're not saved by service, but you're saved for service. In God's kingdom, you have a place, a purpose, a role, a function to fulfill. And we should be eager to fulfill our role in the body of Christ. Together we are able to unify and grow. Christ is the head of those who are in his body, his church, together. And we're together when we're in his body because we actually are a part of the work of the Lord of Jesus Christ. We're involved. Shane, why don't you come? Thanks, Shane. Such a talented, multi-talented man. Then the Holy Spirit is a great part of your life. It's not a chore to do things when the Holy Spirit's part of your world. It's actually a joy. I forget how many years Andrew and I rocked up and we thought, I wonder who's going to turn up today. Some weeks I think there were 6 people. A few children. One week that reduced to 4 because Jared had cut his forehead. He's still got the scar on the corner, and had to get rushed off the hospital. And they had to fuse his head back together. He kind of go, come on, God, what are you doing? But when the call of God hasn't left, you've got to just keep doing what God's called you to do. Can we do it together? Can we serve and be a part of his house together? And so when we worship God, can we worship him together too? If there's a need, can we see it? Let's enjoy his house. Because I reckon that, like the early church, when the Holy Spirit's on something and we work together and we're in community together and we all have our, you know, personal relationships and friendships and our teams are working together, we are, wow. I think God would do something quite incredible. more than what he's doing now. But we've got to have a desire to see his church grow to its full potential. Let's stand on our feet for a moment. Father, I pray today. I'm praying today that each and every one of us, Lord, that we will have a desire. Lord, that we're not called out for nothing. We're called to serve you. We're called to be a part of your kingdom work together. We will serve you, Lord. We will love you all the days of our life. And we won't just say it. And the people around us will know it. Because we love you by our actions. Father God, why don't we just leave our hands out for a moment? Lord, just touch us this morning. Maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life. Maybe this morning he's calling you back to himself. Past as much as what we do from this moment on. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he will come. You will be released from those things. So I want to have an opportunity this morning before we close this meeting to pray for you. If you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you in a few moments to come forward. I want to pray with you. Will you allow Jesus to be Lord of your life? You will have purpose. You will be called out. The Greek is ecclesia, called out ones. We're called out to serve God. We're called out to bring good news to others. We're not just on this earth to live a life and die. We're on this earth to live a life with purpose in relationship with Jesus, who died on the cross for you so that you can repent and be set free to serve. This morning, I'd love to pray with you. God loves you. God cares about you. He wants you in relationship with him. He wants you part of his church. So I'm going to call you in a moment. If you'd like to come and pray with me, take the courage. See, God wants to see that your love is real. Move out of your seat. Move out from where you're standing. Say, yeah, Pastor Nigel, please pray with me. I need to come back to Christ today. I need to make a commitment for the first time. I want to come into a relationship with God. I do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. So on the count of three, if you never received Jesus as Lord of your life, this morning, you know it's time to recommit your life. If that's you, pop up your hand and I'll see it. Start coming down to the front as well when I see your hand. One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone here today? One more time, let's just raise our hands to heaven for a moment. Father, today we thank you for good news. We thank you, you're a great God and you want to do great things through this house and Lord, through every church, Father. Lord, it's not just about us, it's about the kingdom of God. But Lord, today we want to just pray for Lord, C3 Fremantle too. Lord, where we belong. This is our home. This is where you've planted us. We pray today that you will take this church from strength to strength, from health to growth. Lord, the things that you want to accomplish in this place, Father, I pray that we would be able to do it together. Why don't you pray? Yeah, I want to be a part. If you believe it, I want to be a part of the growth of this church. Pray it out. I want to be a part. Pray it out now. I want to be a part. I want to be a part. I want to be a part. Father God. Father God. Haven't you would like to serve or feel like, you know what, I'm only serving once, not very often, please fill in the form, pass it to Marg at the information desk. We're going to have a leaders meeting not long time, but at the very latest we'll start at noon. Leaders and volunteers, you must be a volunteer once a month, as Andrea mentioned earlier. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week. Enjoy a coffee together.